Luke 18, reading from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him. So I think I just read that again. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Let's pray once more. Lord God, would you grant and stir faith in our hearts this morning? Will you grant that those who have not yet closed with Christ might do so in this hour? That those of us who know him may see him more clearly and be more assured of his goodness and his grace. We plead with you, Father, that you would give us eyes to see what this blind man could see, that you may be honoured in our midst, and that the people may praise you, for we ask it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is a sermon that is intended in large measure for those who may be seeking salvation, but who are not yet saved. Perhaps it's one of you young people, and you might say, "Well, I've asked God to save me, but he hasn't saved me yet, or I'm not sure that I have been converted." Perhaps there are those of us who are older who sometimes are filled with fears or doubts about Christ's readiness, his willingness, his ability to save us when we have called upon him. And we need to be reminded of the Christ who we have, the Christ who we grasp by faith. I would like us this morning to take encouragement under such circumstances from this man near Jericho. He came to Christ in order to obtain physical healing. He was blind and wanted to receive his sight. But he's a wonderful illustration of the kind of faith that comes to the Lord Jesus to obtain a blessing. And so we're going to follow his route, and we're going to try and walk in his footsteps and follow his example as a man who put his faith insistently, deliberately in Christ Jesus. So begin by thinking about the object of his faith. Who was it in whom this man believed? They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What's interesting is that at first it's the crowd who says it's Jesus of Nazareth, but that the man himself adds something to that designation. He doesn't deny that this is the Nazarene, but he realizes that this dusty traveler who's walking on the road up to Jerusalem is more than merely a man called Jesus who can be identified as coming from Nazareth. He doesn't even speak to him as a particular teacher. He speaks to him as the Son of David. You see, this man, though physically blind, can see far more than many of the others who are on the road. They just see Jesus of Nazareth, but the blind man sees Jesus, the Son of David. When it comes to his confidence, when it comes to his faith, he's not going to put his trust in the medicines that might be available to him. He hasn't gone to the temple and asked for ceremonies or rituals. He wants the Son of David to help him. He wants Jesus of Nazareth, who he believes is the Messiah, the sent one of God, the heir of all the promises that God has made, to be his helper. Now, do you see Jesus as he really is? He's still, to many people, despised, rejected, forsaken of God. He's still just Jesus of Nazareth. But do you understand that this Jesus, the Jesus of whom Luke writes in this gospel, as we were reading a few moments ago, that this Jesus is the Son of David and the Son of God, that he is the one whom the Father has sent into this world to bring life and light and immortality to light through the gospel? Faith must come to Jesus if we are to be blessed. There is no other person who can help you. There is no one else who can do you good. It must be this Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Son of David, who saves sinners like us. Where do you find him today? Well, you find him here. You find him not just in a building, but you find him where his truth is proclaimed. You have been, in effect, sitting by the road already this morning, and Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. You've heard him in the readings. We've spoken of him in our psalms and hymns. We've talked about him. We've prayed in his name. Jesus of Nazareth is, in the language of that passage from Isaiah 55, he is God who is near to us. In this Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is in our midst. You'll find him in your Bible. As you turn the pages of God's book, it speaks to you of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, and he is passing by right before you. He's there in the preaching and the teaching, not just from this pulpit, but some of you in the instruction that you get from Dad or Mum with regard to the way of life in Christ Jesus. He's there on the bookshelf outside that many of you might walk past without always looking at it. Those books are not God's book, but they're books that speak of the truth of God's book. And many of them are full of Jesus Christ. And if you wanted to know more about him, if you wanted to understand him better, you can read your Bible. You can listen to the sermons. You can read those books. You can heed your godly friends or parents. This man was in the right place. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Do you see what he saw when Jesus of Nazareth was near? Do you see the Messiah? Do you see the Saviour of sinners? Do you see the only one who can truly bless your soul? If you're to be saved, you need to have Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, as the object of your faith. But also you can listen to the voice of this man's faith. Because when he knows that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, he begins to shout, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cries out then, "All the more, have mercy on me." He's saying, "Will you show me grace? I trust you. I know your heart. I believe what is said about you. And I believe that you are able to help me." And he prays this beautifully specific and general prayer. It winds everything together. If you need help, you ask for help. If you're not even necessarily sure precisely what kind of help you need, you can ask for all kinds of help. And this is a catch-all cry. Have mercy upon me. Help me. Now, he can be very specific. Later on, he'll say, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." But when Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David's passing by, when the King of Mercy is passing by, "Have mercy upon me," captures every need that this man might possibly have. And his cry is earnest. He feels his need. Some of you boys and girls, when you haven't eaten for 2 or 3 hours, you start whinging like you haven't eaten for 2 or 3 weeks. "Oh, I'm so hungry. Feed me. I'm about to die. I'm so hungry." And people know you're in earnest. How would you cry out to God for mercy? God, have mercy. Any good that I could have? We can be so casual when it comes to asking for the things that really matter. We're desperate to fill our bellies sometimes. We might feel these particular needs as we go through life, but how many of us cry out for mercy? This is faith speaking. Have mercy upon me. Show your grace toward me. I have a deep and real need, and you alone can meet it. It's an open cry. He's not going to hide his condition. Everybody around him knows. Now, I'm not saying that everybody around you needs to know that you're seeking after Jesus Christ. But I am saying this. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ if you are to come to him. You can't come to him, as it were, hoping that no one ever finds out. If you're going to be saved by Christ, people will know that you have been blessed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's happy in that sense for people to know that he wants Jesus to help him. It's a humble cry. Faith is humble. Faith doesn't try and make bargains. Faith doesn't offer something in order to receive something. Faith comes empty-handed to obtain what God holds out. There's no merit here. There's no reward being demanded. The man is a beggar. He's a beggar in his humanity. He's a beggar spiritually speaking. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's expectant. Faith actually believes that God can bless. That's part of faith. It anticipates that if Christ is there, then a blessing can and will be obtained. This man isn't crying out because he thinks Jesus hates him. He's not crying out because he thinks that Christ is primed to ignore him. He's calling because Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, is near. And he knows something of the goodness and the favour and the power of his heart. Faith speaks then from the soul. It speaks earnestly, openly, humbly and expectantly. I've asked, have you seen that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the Son of David? I want to know, have you asked him to have mercy upon you? Some people do not receive because they don't ask. Have you asked Jesus of Nazareth to bless you? Have you asked the Son of David to show his grace toward you? Have you asked him to pour out his saving mercies upon your soul? There's something here that is beautifully simple and straightforward. You might say, what do I ask? This man got it all covered, didn't he, in a few short words. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's the voice of his faith, and you should learn from it. You should also learn from the discouragement of his faith. Wouldn't you have hoped? Perhaps he was surprised when the people around him did everything that they could, not to help him forward, but to shut him up and hold him back. This was not an easy experience for this man. He's making too much of a noise. He's taking this all too seriously. He's disrupting the status quo. Some of you perhaps need to know that all true faith is opposed, even in its first actings. You've heard recently some of the testimonies of God's people when they've come into membership. Lord willing, you'll hear a couple more before long. And if you're listening carefully, you'll not always find that somebody heard and then trusted and everything worked out well after that. What you'll often find is that there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. I began to understand that I was a sinner, but I wasn't sure where I should go because no one had ever told me. And then somebody told me about Jesus Christ. I began to understand that he was the one who could save me from my sins. But maybe it was my parents and they told me that I was foolish. Maybe it was my friends and they tried to drag me in another direction. Maybe it was some particular sin that was gripping my soul and I had a battle over whether I would have my sin and go to hell or have Christ and go to heaven. You need to understand that faith is going to be opposed and assaulted. And this poor man heard many, many other voices as he was crying out to Jesus, the Son of David, for mercy, telling him to back off and to shut up and to sit down and to keep quiet. And if you are calling upon Jesus of Nazareth to save you from your sins, you can expect to hear many voices to discourage you from doing just that. Satan will speak to you. Satan will tell you to be quiet. He might tell you that you are way too bad to be saved by Jesus of Nazareth. He might tell you that Jesus of Nazareth has no interest in sinners such as you are. That perhaps you've done too much that's wrong, or you've sinned in a certain kind of way and it's put you beyond the reach of hope. Satan might accuse you. Some of you know what it's like when you've sought to draw near to Jesus Christ. It feels like all your sin rises up before your eyes. And rather than being like David and saying, Lord, sink the mountain of my sin into the sea of your mercy, you've heard Satan say, there's nothing and no one who can take away that great heap of transgression. And you're saying, have mercy. And Satan's saying, there's no mercy for you. Shut up. Sit down. Back off. And be quiet. Your sin might speak to you when you come to Jesus Christ and say, but I am so sweet. I'm so much fun. Do you really want to lose me? Do you really want me to go away? Think of how I taste. Think of how I feel. Think of how I look. Think of how I make you feel. Do you really want to go to Jesus of Nazareth and abandon me? Be quiet. Sit down. Shut up. The world will speak to you. The world will say, we won't like you anymore if you go to Jesus of Nazareth. You'll lose our applause. You'll lose our favour. You're already mucking us up. You're already making too much of a noise. You're already disturbing us. Be quiet. Sit down. Back off. We don't want to hear you making a noise about Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David. Your flesh will speak to you and say, oh, you're going to find it very hard to deny me. You're going to find it very difficult to overcome me. I'm much easier as a friend than I am as somebody that you need to keep in submission. Why would you make it so hard for yourself? Why are you already troubling me? Why are you already engaged in combat against me? Sit down. Shut up. Be quiet. Your friends may speak to you. Some of them will tell you this is not the way to go. This is not the action to take. Some of them will say you can't be with us if you're going to be with him. Some of you may have had people who've literally got in your faces and made very clear to you that the choice is between Jesus Christ and them. Sometimes even your parents, your brothers and your sisters. It's him or it's us. Now sit down and shut up and be quiet. Your own doubts might speak to you. Can Jesus really save me? Will he really hear me? Would he receive me? You might face delays. You might have called once or twice and you don't know that you've been heard. And doubt will say, well, maybe it's not real, maybe it's not true. There may be difficulties when you come to Jesus Christ. You begin to understand your sin. You begin to understand God's salvation. You begin to appreciate what it means for the Son of David to be a Savior for sinners like you. But those challenges, those difficulties, those doubts and those fears, they're whispering to you, sometimes yelling at you, just sit down and be quiet. Stop asking. You've tried and you've failed. He's heard, but he didn't want to know. What's tragic is that sometimes you'll hear Christians saying, shut up, sit down and be quiet. Some of them will say, you're taking this all too seriously. Some of them will say, you're disrupting the nice, calm life of this congregation. And I'm not saying you need to be necessarily shouting and yelling in the middle of a church service. But what if somebody did? What if somebody here this morning came under profound conviction of sin and began to weep over their transgressions? What if under the weight of their iniquities, they began to call upon the name of the Lord? Can you believe it? Can't they go out and get a tissue? Can't they control themselves? Can't they get a grip upon themselves? Perhaps parents discourage their children. Not now. It's too important. I've got other things that I need to do. I need to get on with this. I need to get on with that. Perhaps it's a young person and they want someone to talk to. And it's an older Christian who may not say so much, be quiet, but they derail the conversation. They just want to talk about school or about your holidays or about your birthday party or whatever it may be. And although we may not even intend it, the voice that they hear could be, sit down, be quiet. We don't want to talk about those things. My friends, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we ought to be clearing a path to the Saviour. We ought to be pointing and showing and guiding. And there are people who come in amongst us. And there are people that we know or fear are not converted in our midst. Are you the one who is drawing alongside them? Are you engaging with them? Not that you can sort of pick them up and drag them physically into the kingdom, but are you driving home the truth? Are you encouraging and directing them? Are you speaking to them more of Jesus Christ? Are you saying, in effect, stand up, call out, because Jesus of Nazareth is present to bless? Have you heard those voices? I know some of you have. Have you listened to them? There are some people who come very close to the kingdom, and the voices shout louder and louder the closer you come to Jesus Christ, or the closer he comes to you. And they can be so discouraging, so debilitating. What did this man do? Oh God, the Holy Spirit is at work in him. Consider the insistence of his faith. He cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. What was his response? He shouted all the more. He got louder. He got more insistent. He got more deliberate. He went on calling and calling and calling, because Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, was near at hand. And Jesus was the one who could bless him, who could help him, who could save him. You see, in this man, there are two things that are coming together: desperate need and present opportunity. If the opportunity had been there and he'd not known his need, he might never have bothered crying out. If he'd known his need, but there was no one who could help him, he might have despaired of ever finding help. But now Christ is there, and he is there. The Lord Jesus passes by, and this blind man is sitting by the road, and he knows that the Saviour is near at hand. The Son of David has come, the helper, the deliverer, the redeemer of his people. And here am I in all my need, and there he is in all his fullness. And so the discouraging voices will not silence a man who knows his need and knows that one who can meet his need is passing by. And so he cries repeatedly, intensely, earnestly. He doesn't try any new arguments. He just shouts the same one more loudly, more insistently. Son of David, have mercy on me. He's clinging to this reality. He's clinging to this Saviour. He must be heard. He will be heard. If it lies in him at all, he will get the attention of the Lord Jesus. And I would say to anybody here, whatever discouragements you may face, keep calling on the name of the Lord. Whatever may be your distresses, whatever may be your discouragements, whether Satan accuses you, or the flesh entices you, or your friends threaten you, or the world bombards you, or your doubts and fears rise up and unsettle you, if time is passing, if people around you seem to have no regard and no interest and even think you should just sit down and be quiet, let me urge you to call on Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of David for your salvation, for he can and will make you well. Never back off until you have Christ. Never hold back until you know that he has heard your cry. When Jesus is near, when you're reading your Bible, when you're hearing the sermons, when you're opening those good books, when you're talking to God's people, Christ is there for salvation. Call upon him while he is near and receive the blessing that he gives. Will you insist? Don't give up. Don't hold back. If you think you've cried and you've not received, cry again and again until you know that you are Christ's, because Christ is yours. And that brings us then to the blessing of this man's faith. The cry of faith captured the open ear and the willing heart of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David. See, the problem wasn't that he was unwilling. He was drawing near. He was on his way. And as he passed by, all that was necessary was that this blind man should cry out to him. And in the face of every discouragement that the crowd had offered, and in the teeth of every discouragement that you may face, listen to what Jesus did. He stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. The Lord Jesus did not say back off. The Lord Jesus did not say sit down. The Lord Jesus did not say be quiet. The Lord Jesus said, come here. Come to me. Come to me as you are. And when he'd come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Perhaps for a few moments there, those discouragements had taken a grip upon the blind man's soul. Perhaps he'd begun to wonder if Jesus would just walk past and pay no attention to him, that his deep need would not be met and his present opportunity would pass him by. And understanding that this was his moment, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And his faith was rewarded. He knew what the Son of David was like. He counted on it. And the Son of David acted toward him like the Son of David. He stopped and he commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came, he asked him, what is it that you need? Do you understand that that is the heart of Jesus Christ towards sinners? He's not harsh, he's not cold, he's not distant, he is not resistant. He is ready to bless. If you're calling upon him, his ear is open to your cry. His hand is stretched out to draw you near. And faith makes its plain request. Lord, I want to receive my sight. Lord, I want to be made well. Lord, I want to be saved from my sin. Lord, I want to be delivered from the bondage of sin and death. Lord, I want to be free of the reign of Satan. Lord, I want to be free from the grasp of the world. I want to be free from the dominion of darkness. I want to be liberated from the grip that my sinful flesh has upon me. I want to love you more than I love my family or my friends. I want to have confidence in you. I want to be a true believer. And faith receives a sweet favour. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." That's a very rare expression. The Lord Jesus does not often say, "Your faith has made you well." There's a danger there, isn't there? That you might think, well, my faith then is a work. Jesus rewards my faith. Jesus doesn't say your knowledge has made you well. The Lord Jesus doesn't say your prayer has made you well. He doesn't say congratulations on shouting long enough and loud enough. I will therefore bless you. He doesn't say your courage has made you well. You are willing to stand up for yourself. Good man, therefore I will show you mercy. He doesn't even say your desperation has made you well. You felt enough, you needed enough, and therefore I will reward you. In what sense then can he say your faith has made you well? What is faith? Faith is an empty hand. Faith has made him well in that it has received Christ. Suppose you were to go home and you say, "I'm hungry." And you sit down to a Sunday lunch. What fills your stomach? Is it the food or the eating? Well, ultimately, it's the food. Instrumentally, it's the eating. It's the eating that is going to get the food into your stomach. And in that sense, Christ can say, "Your faith has made you well." Instrumentally, faith is what has grasped me. I am the one who makes you well. And your faith has got me. Your faith has made you well. What is faith then? Faith is the mouth that eats the bread of life. Faith is the empty hand that grasps the Christ of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David. And if you have faith in him, he will make you well. He will save your soul. He will make you clean. He will set you free from darkness. He will liberate you from the power of the evil one. He will wash you clean. He will make you whole. He will make you a son of God. He will bring you into his kingdom. He will secure you for his glory. Immediately, the man received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. The moment that cry reached the ears of Jesus Christ, his head was turned, his heart was engaged, and he was ready to bless. My friend, keep calling on the name of the Lord. When he is near, cry out to him. Call upon him now. Do you need a saviour? Here he is in the pages of your Bible. Here he is in the preaching of the gospel. Here he is by his Spirit in this place. Here he is ready to heal and to bless your soul. And if you call upon this Jesus, if you cry out for mercy from the Son of David, be confident that he, hearing, will bless you. Never cease crying out, whatever may be the discouragements, those first stumbling desires of your soul. Do not be put off, now or ever, by anyone or anything. But come to Jesus, he will make you well, and you will follow him, glorifying God. That's the life of a disciple. Now he can see. Now he's ready to go. He has everything that he now needs, that he may serve the God of his salvation. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What a turnaround. Before they'd been saying, sit down, shut up, be quiet. Now they're marveling at the grace of God toward a sinner. Have you believed in Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David? Have you called upon him to have mercy upon you? Because when Christ is near and you call for grace, grace is given in Christ. If you have cried out to him, his ear is toward you, his heart is for you, his hand is full of the richest and sweetest of blessings. And where Christ is present and where faith lays hold, you are saved. And you can go on your way glorifying God. Do you believe in Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David? Do you have the mercy that is in him and from him? Do not doubt. Do not fear. Call out. Cry out. Do not cease until you know Christ has come and has blessed you with his so great salvation. Amen.